Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters engage today's top thinkers from around the world to bring you information, inspiration, and thought-provoking ideas you can put to use in your personal and professional life right now. Covering a broad range of topics, Close Up Radio digs deep to discover what makes today's top thinkers tick. Close Up Radio, where ideas matter. And now, here's today's host, Doug Llewellyn.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome back to Close Up Talk Radio. Nice to have you with us today. It's this is going to be an amazing day for you, I think, for all of us, quite frankly, and I know I'm going to learn a lot, too. You know, we talk to some amazing people who've had amazing careers and do amazing things on these shows. Today is certainly one of those. We're going to be talking to somebody who has spent 30 years of their career working for the federal government. And, you know, a lot of people have no idea what it would really be like to get a job with the federal government. I'm one of those. I never applied for work with the federal government, but our guest did. She grew up in Washington, D.C., which is probably why she ended up working for the government. I guess it's pretty natural if you live in Washington most of your life to consider the government as a place to go to work. But our guest has had a remarkable career. She ended up going to college at the University of Maryland, and she graduated with a Bachelor of Science in Accounting and Business Technical Management from Maryland. So that's what she carried with her when she, applied to work for the government. So let's find out, because she ended up as an auditor, and that is really something pretty fascinating when you're an auditing position with the U.S. government. And we're going to find out what all of that is. Her career is truly amazing. You're going to find this fascinating, to say the least. Her name is Jennifer Wilson. She lives in the Northern Virginia suburbs outside of D.C. right now. And Jennifer, it's just a delight to have you with us. Thanks for taking the time out and being willing to tell us about your career. I think people are going to find it amazing. Okay? How are you today?
I'm doing well, thank you. Getting over a little bit of a sore throat, so I do apologize for a little bit of hoarseness, but I'm so excited, Doug, to be here today and to tell my story.
Well, you know, reading about your background and what you've done, it really is amazing. You were one of the I can't help but ask you, when you went to school to study with the degree that you actually got, you know, in college, it was obviously accounting was heavily part of it, but a Bachelor of Science in Accounting and Business Technical Management. At what point, what did you think you were going to do with that degree when you got out of school? What were your thoughts at that point?
Well, you know, it's really interesting that you're asking this, because I first want to mention this. I didn't even know what I wanted to do in college, and my father always told me, he goes, Jennifer, if you get an accounting degree, you're going to be able to work anywhere. You'll be able to find a job. And so that's what I did. I went to school for accounting, and then lo and behold, when I applied for the federal government as an auditor, it required 24 credit hours of accounting. And so that accounting degree really helped me, open the door for me in the auditing world. So it was really fantastic, you know, the way just kind of fell into it.
Okay. I mean, was the federal government one of the first thoughts you had of going to work?
No. So actually, I first went to work for the private sector. I worked for a couple different companies. One of them was the corporate headquarters for Kay Jewelers. And I also worked at Dominion Bank Shares Mortgage Corporation, which I don't know if that's still in existence today. Worked at a couple different places, a law firm. And then I applied to the federal government. My father had been a retired federal employee. I knew a lot of people in the federal government. And I'm like, well, let me just try it. Let me see if I can get in. And again, it was really my accounting background that helped me get into the auditing field.
Well, having your dad work for the government, that gave you a little bit of idea of what it was, what you might be in for. Let me ask, is it hard to land a job with the government? I have no idea. How did you find it?
Well, there is a process. It's called usajobs.gov. But if you have a good resume and you just follow all the instructions, including, like, you know, there's a lot of knowledge, skills, and abilities kind of, questions and technical questions that they want to have about you to see if you're qualified. But you just have to follow the process, follow the rules. And it's lot. It's a lot. But if you really want to get in, you'll get through it. So
was it a lengthy process? You know, one of the things that people if you get a job with the government, that's great because they never fire anybody. Is there truth to that?
Well,
it's what they say.
Well, they can fire you. They can. You have to do something pretty bad. But no, I mean, generally speaking, you know, when I applied for the senior executive position back in 2012-13. To apply for a senior executive position, that can be a little bit harder because they have what they call these executive qualification, competencies, and it's quite a process. You have to go through a review board and be certified, and those are very competitive positions. So, you know, but again, you know, there's a lot of people in the federal government, and I think it's been very rewarding. I've been very happy to be in the federal government for so many years now, 34 years now, I think it is. 1989, that's when I got in, 1989.
Good for you.
I'm thinking myself.
No, you're not at all. Come on. A lot of people think auditing and accounting, it sounds boring. But I look at your career, and it has been anything but boring. Wouldn't that be the truth as the way you see it?
Yes, absolutely. I have been able to do so many things, meet so many people, and really the bottom line, though, is about helping the American people. And so that's why I have a passion for public service, and I've been able to to fulfill my dreams of being a federal auditor. So, go ahead.
Go ahead. I was going to say, as a federal auditor, you were really kind of responsible for finding out and overseeing how our tax dollars are spent. You are one who has shown an unwavering commitment to ensuring that federal money is being spent properly. People want transparency,
right.
And that's your story. I'm just thinking, you know, there's a senator whose name skips my mind right now, but every year he issues his list of the way the government wastes money. Like he'll point out they spent $2,700,000 providing a study for why ducks waddle with their left feet first and things, stupid things like that. But are you familiar with any of those kind of things?
And I can actually tell you a little story if you'd like about something that we unraveled on one of my audits. But those stories. So I mean, that's what's called bringing public transparency and accountability. People want to know where their dollars are being spent, and that's why being a federal auditor, especially when you're an external auditor and you're reporting to the Congress or to say the Secretary of a department or an agency, those reports are made public, and that's when, you bring that transparency. But, I can tell you, just talking about the types of responsibilities auditors have, you mentioned transparency, accountability. We also make recommendations to promote, economy, efficiency, effectiveness, those kinds of things in the administration of these federal agency programs. And we're all about trying to prevent and detect fraud, waste, abuse, and or mismanagement. And let me hone in on a little bit, if I can, Doug, on this mismanagement. So just to kind of put all of this, garbled book into kind of some plain English, I was working at the time at the Special Inspector General for the Troubled Asset Relief Program, or called SIGTARP. That was a special IG that was created to be the watchdog of United States dollars distributed in response to the financial crisis. Remember the Great Recession. So the late Congressman Lewis of Georgia, he requested that the special IG audit Georgia's hardest hit fund to determine if the fund is meeting urgent local needs of certain counties in Atlanta. And so this fund, I'll give you a little background before I kind of tell you what we actually found, the auditors found. But this fund was established in 18 hard-hit states in the District of Columbia, in 2016 to continue to assist homeowners and neighborhoods that continued to experience the negative effects of the financial crisis. It basically served as a temporary safety net that dispersed dollars to mortgage servicers so that unemployed or underemployed Americans continued to stay in their homes. And so what we found was that this housing authority that was responsible for administering the program mismanaged the U.S. funds. We found that it was extremely difficult for any Georgian, anyone in Georgia, to receive these funds due to these overly strict and burdensome application process compared to what other homeowners in other states had faced. And so based on that evidence, based on this and other evidence obtained, you know, during our audit, we determined the mismanagement could be an underlying cause that contributed to pockets of what we called slow housing recovery in certain underserved communities, underserved neighborhoods. And so we briefed our findings to the then congressman, who was, of course, grateful for our work. And the Housing Authority addressed our recommendations and improved the program. So this is why being a, you know, making public reports, making recommendations, and, you know, is so critical, because that's what we're all about, is trying to improve the effectiveness and the efficiency of these programs. So I just want to kind of give that as an example of one story. I mean, I have many of these, but that was just one, I think, that hopefully kind of puts it in plain English for people.
Well, I think that's a great example. Is right. And what kind of things did you have to do for them? Were you one of the ones who actually really did the, you know, the digging into what was going on down there?
Absolutely. So as part of the responsibility, so first off, I was at the time the head of their audit and inspections at SIGTARP, but I had a team, right? And it's all about teamwork. So my team and I, you know, we got down into Atlanta region there, all the different counties, but this is kind of, we talked to people on the ground. We talked to homeowners. We had to work with legal advocacy groups to, of course, talk to homeowners. We conducted interviews with program officials from government and non-governmental offices. I mean, and just trying to, but let me just back up a minute, just trying to understand what this program was and trying to get the data we needed. So the way audits work is you have this planning phase, right? And that's where you have to gain an understanding of what is this program? What are the rules? What are the laws, the regs? And so we had to identify socioeconomic needs of the Atlanta region. It was about identifying, like, information and key data sources, designing a methodology. Now, this methodology was to analyze loan-level data, right? We were trying to figure out who was approved and who was denied for these loans. And so that was, you know, took a lot of effort, good work there, but a lot of work to understand the different zip code areas and neighborhoods that were actually affected, where there were distressed mortgages, right? And
yeah.
So pulling all of that information together, then you develop, you know, your report. You develop your findings and issue a report. And we're all about issuing – see, this is another thing I want to make sure I, you know, kind of get across, is that as an auditor, we're looking at nonpartisan, fair, balanced reporting, right? We want to just get the facts out. So we're objective, we're independent, and we tell the story. And so, you know, sometimes it's difficult, I will say, writing a report – that just puts it in plain English for the American people is hard. It's not easy, and it took me years. You know, I you don't just come out and year one in auditor and you know how to write these reports. It takes years to develop that, and I thank a lot of people along the way who helped me. You know, with that kind of message development.
Did anybody get indicted or, you know, fired or anything because of that investigation?
That particular one, no, but there were others I was on that people actually were let go and or they ended up doing reorganization or they were, say, temporary changes made until they could remedy certain corrective actions. So, but I've also worked with investigators along the way who, you know, you do see where there's indictments made at the end of the day. But auditors, we have to know where to draw the line. We can't get into the criminal side. We can make referrals to investigators, but we can't actually do the, you know, the criminal, the investigative work to get there.
Yeah, I understand that. I think it's worth pointing out you're not a financial auditor for the IRS.
That's
you're a
right.
performance auditor, which that explains
That's
a lot.
Right.
And
yes.
What is amazing, you work for many different branches of the federal government. I mean, it went to the Department of Defense, you one the department to another. What's the most interesting job do you think you've had? You've probably been, 15 different divisions of the government, if not more.
Well,
am I right?
I have been to several. I've been like, so for instance, the Government Accountability Office where I worked, and I'll get into it in a minute, but I'm working there now, but in a different capacity. But that's at more of a national level. They're considered like the U.S. Supreme Audit Institution. Okay, they report to the Congress. They're the watchdog for the Congress, right?
Right.
But then I also work for what we call Federal Inspectors General, and there's 74 of those, and they're ones who are presidentially appointed, confirmed by the Senate. And so I worked at Department of Defense Inspector General. That was my very first position in the federal government back in 1989. Then I also worked at these specialized IGs that I referred to, like the SIGTARP, the one that was created for the financial crisis. I worked for another one, which was the special IG for Afghanistan reconstruction. That was, of course, created in response to the 9/11 attacks to look at the reconstruction efforts. Prior to my current position, I worked at at the Pandemic Response Accountability Committee, or the PRAC, and that was a committee. I know, and that was actually not an IG, but it was like it was basically a committee within the Council of, you know, Inspectors General for Integrity and Efficiency. So it's, yeah, I've worked. all of that was auditing. But then I decided temporarily for about 5 years that I wanted to get on the agency side. So I went to the Defense Intelligence Agency, or the DIA, and I just wanted to see what it was like on the agency side, and I got into project management, really got into my information systems and technology, experience there. I really gained a lot of experience, and I had the opportunity there to work on some really time-sensitive, like transformational initiatives that enhance global defense intelligence capabilities and financial operations across the intelligence community. So I did that for about 5 years, but then I ended up getting back into auditing.
May I ask you a question? One of your jobs was with the Special Inspector General for Afghanistan Reconstruction, which makes me want to ask you, did you do all of that from Washington, or did you actually have to go to Afghanistan?
Well, I actually went to Afghanistan. I was there for 2 years, 25 months, if you want to be exact. It's interesting that you bring this up, because when I went to the Special IG for Afghanistan Reconstruction, which acronym, I'm telling you all these acronyms, but that's SIGAR, okay. When I went there, I was initially in at their headquarters in Virginia, Crystal City, Virginia, and then about 2 months in, they asked if I would voluntarily, as a civilian, be deployed to Afghanistan. So initially, it was going to be a 1 year tour of duty, and I moved up to the head of their audit inspections, and then stayed there. And then a year after that year, the IG, well, there was a position open. It was the Director Ford, which is basically the head of the office. It's the senior representative for the cigar office in Afghanistan. It was located in Kabul. So then I stayed another year, 13 months, in that position, which was essentially serving as the eyes and ears on the ground for the special IG. And during my two-year assignment total, I traveled to about 16 different provinces throughout Afghanistan, where I really was able to get this hands-on knowledge of the reconstruction progress. I mean, I worked with, our U.S. military, NATO, the embassy officials, Afghan government officials. I was all over the place. I really, really enjoyed the work that I was doing there. It was, of course, risky work, but it was very meaningful, and I really liked being boots on the ground. And, I just want to take a moment to say that the oversight work, their mission would have never been possible without the military and the embassy security support, because we weren't allowed. You couldn't just, walk out of the gate of the embassy. It was a whole process, right? You had to get approval. You had to get security. You had to wear your PPE, your protective gear, and all of that.
Were you there? Were you there when the military pulled out of Afghanistan?
No. So I was there from November 2011 through December 2013, which was actually a really interesting time to be there, because it was when they were trying to do a lot of transformation to transfer the security to the Afghan government, the Afghan security forces. But I was not there during that period of time. And it was very sad when I heard about that, and when all of that came down. It was, it was sad.
I'm sure. You've had a really remarkable career. Let me ask you about other places you may have served other than Afghanistan. Or have there been others, or for the most part, has most of it been in Washington?
Well, when I was with the Defense Intelligence Agency, I was doing work. It's hard to say a lot about what I did, but I was overseas in the UK, working on some important projects there. They were time-sensitive projects. I was in Germany a lot. So the Germany and the UK, currently my current position is with the Center for Audit Excellence within the GAO, and I'm on a project trying to provide capacity building, technical assistance, and mentoring to accountability organizations in Ukraine. And so I actually just got back from Poland and Ukraine on that job. But when I was at the Department of Defense Inspector General, I did a lot of travel to Brussels and other locations, and domestic too, because, I was there almost 9 years, and all the military installations and you get to see some really cool things. You're inside of these aircraft and all this weapon systems. I mean, the thing I really also like, and I'm just kind of rambling here a little bit, but I just want to point out that being a performance auditor, what I really, really liked about it is every audit is different. You have to learn about these programs. And an example, when I was at DOGIG, all of a sudden I'm learning about how many cubic feet per minute of airflow it takes in a 18-troop compartment of an advanced amphibious assault vehicle. Now, So what you do as an auditor, you work with the Surgeon Generals up in, Massachusetts, who can assist you with threat scenarios. You give them all this information. You say, this is what I'm trying to figure out. And you work with experts, and they help. It takes a lot of that. I mean, I'm looking at submarines and transducers. And so I did some really, really, really awesome work at the DODIG, I will have to say. I really like doing the weapons systems acquisition work, looking at the American Buy America contracting practices.
An amazing career. What, off the top of your head, what are your thoughts about going to Ukraine? You know, we see footage from Ukraine and how the cities there have been decimated. Did you see that firsthand yourself?
I did see a little bit, and it's sad. And I'm grateful I was able to go, and I got back safely, and everything is fine. Just got a little sore throat. But
another question is, you're an auditor, and there has been so much comment about how it seems like money that we give to Ukraine is being wasted in so many areas, and it's going to a lot of people in Ukraine who have nothing to do with the government over there. Is that one of the things you've been investigating as a performance auditor at all?
No, because what I'm doing now is I'm actually training the auditors, so I'm not auditing. I'm not doing audits now. This is the difference what my current position is, so I do want to emphasize that. So up until just last fall, I've been an auditor doing the audits. Now I'm actually training and providing mentoring and technical assistance to audit institutions, and I will tell you, they're very passionate about, and they're very grateful for the money that's being given to them to help, restore and recover from the full-scale invasion of Russia. So it's it's very rewarding to be able to, and again, I'm just starting there. It's only been since October I joined. But it's a great experience, and it's so important that, especially when you have so many years. So first off, the Center for Audit Excellence, we're all retired employees. I retired from the federal government in 2019, and I went back. We call them reemployed annuitants, but we're all, retired former senior executives. And now to be able to share these practices, best practices, and lessons learned, it's pretty amazing. So I'm very happy to be doing that.
You are something else, I must tell you. It's been, we're running out. I think it's been great. Thank you for sharing a little bit of what, and we've only had a smattering of what you've done and the different agencies. You won a lot of awards for your work. Is that helpful when you win awards during the government, Leadership Excellence Awards, a series of those? I would assume that's been very helpful. Am I right?
Yeah. It is, and it's again, I'm humbled by it and honored to have received such, including the Global War on Terrorism when I was in Afghanistan, but, teamwork awards, IG awards, these awards, they do mean a lot, and, I'm grateful to have served American people.
In wrapping this up, I guess, if you were asked by someone, would it be great to go to work for the federal government? I think you would probably say, yeah, it can lead to a great career. Am I right on
Absolutely.
That?
Absolutely. Absolutely. 100%. I have no qualms. I'm so thankful that I got in and have stayed in all these years. So 100%, I would definitely tell people it's a great, great opportunity.
Well, thank you for talking to us. Jennifer Wilson, almost 30 years with the federal government, still working with them, but learning, explaining to us what it's like and what it can possibly, the jobs you can have if you get a job with the government. Jennifer, thank you. It's been great to hear what it's like, and you've been a great example. So thanks for your time, my dear. I really appreciate
it. Thank you. Thanks so much, Doug.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.
Boy, that was amazing, wasn't it? Thank you, Jennifer. I'm Doug Llewellyn. We'll see you next time. Bye for now.